Welcome to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast with your host, Nicole Rose from the Solidarity Apothecary. This is your place for all things plants and liberation. Let's get started.
Hello, welcome back to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast. Okay, I have a tiny bit of time while my mum is looking after the little ones. So I'm just going to dive straight into kind of part two of the herbal care packages episode. So in the last episode, I talked about the like various herbal care packages that I make with the Solidarity Apothecary and the ingredients, like the items that are included in each pack and why, and a little bit about the herbs that are included. And in this episode, I'm going to go into a bit more detail about the kind of logistics and how I make them and a bit about fundraising and herbal safety. But yeah, we'll see how far we can get today. So yeah, in terms of logistics, I think I mentioned this in the last episode, but I used to just have like a more generic form that people would fill in. And, you know, like any group could request like all sorts of different things. And it just meant like that I had to create a lot of work kind of making those medicines like from not from scratch, because I had like various component parts. But yeah, it was a bit different at the beginning and sort of like the first year of the pandemic, because it kind of you know, it became like fairly consistent in terms of like a cold and flu pack. So, you know, like that was easier when groups requested it and things. But yeah, generally I used to be like very flexible. And then I did this like herbal solidarity survey online, and I asked, I think like 60 people filled it in with their experiences of getting care packages or just like following the Solidarity Apothecary online and like their advice on like different offerings and stuff. I was so appreciative of everyone who filled it in and gave some like really amazing input into the project. But it was kind of clear that like people feel A, that they don't feel like deserving of medicine. B, don't know what to request, like aren't familiar with specific herbs to request them. And also, yeah, like are themselves dealing with all sorts of like information overwhelm. So they also need a simple system. I think it is amazing with organizer types, like the psyche of martyrdom and self-sacrifice and like the amount of people that have requested a herbal care package and they're just giving them all away to people they know rather than like taking any themselves and then have felt uncomfortable asking for more. And like, I totally understand, because like I was so in that place for a really long time in terms of like self-neglect and martyrdom and kind of like not being able to receive and like ask for resources and just giving. So there's so many people that I know would love a care package that don't actually apply for one. And I think, yeah, that's like a consistent challenge that I need to overcome. Because yeah, and I think before the baby I was like much more embedded in like different crews and like bouncing up and forth to Bristol and going to demos and going to things and events and like really part of strong networks, and so it was like much easier to just be like, yo, request a package and I'll get it in the post. Whereas now I think people are also like a bit hesitant of requesting things from me because of knowing how overwhelming it is, like looking after a baby, and I'm doing it on my own at the moment. That's a really long story which I will share when it's appropriate. But anyway, yeah, people struggle to request. So there is like a level of like, I don't want to say marketing, but there's like a level of like needing to have relationships where people feel like safe and able to request a package. And how I've made that as like streamlined as possible is through these online forms, which if you click on the link in the show notes, you can be taken to it. So I use this amazing software called Seatable, which is a little bit like, people might be familiar with like Airtable, which is like a kind of corporate version, but Seatable is like an open source kind of like hybrid spreadsheet database. And I know we've all got different brains, but like this fucking software is like my brain. Like I love it to death. So it's kind of like a massive spreadsheet, but you can have like all different kinds of like field types and you can color code things and like you can create forms which aren't, you know, like, I mean, I do use Google now and again, but like that aren't like Google forms. So people feel a bit safer like sharing that information. And then, yeah, I can just get a little notification. I can just log in and I can see all of that essential information. And it just like saves that back and forth of like, you know, yeah, kind of getting the, Yeah, getting the details. So for example, this anti-repression pack form. So I have different forms for the different packs because they will contain different things. I'll ask how many people and how many packs. I'll ask if there's anything people need to avoid. I'll ask specifically about alcohol. I'll ask if anyone's pregnant. So like the majority of these medicines are like, you know, I would use them in pregnancy, but everyone is different. And especially in early pregnancy, I'm like very, 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 very cautious, as is most herbalists and health practitioners. So like I wouldn't give someone rose, for example, like especially if they had a history of like pregnancy loss, because it can help bring on menstruation. And you know, likewise, when you're pregnant, like people are very sensitive to flavors and tastes, and like don't take alcohol, so it needs to be in glycerin, but needs to be like teeny tiny amounts. And so anyway, I prefer to not to do something more bespoke if someone is pregnant. I'll ask about medications, because again, most of the packs I've chosen like very safe herbs, which are, you know, in pretty low doses. But for example, if someone was on like hardcore antipsychotics, I would be very cautious about giving them like skullcap tea. I would feel fine about giving them like a chamomile glycerite or something, for example. But yeah, I think it is worth just kind of like being aware. I wouldn't include any like St. John's wort or anything like that, like in my internal blends, like in a care package because of safety. I'll ask for the name and postal address for sending medicines. You won't believe how many people request things and then don't put contact details or like an address for sending things. So that's quite important. I'll just put it all in one form. Like if a crew are public online and they want me to like amplify their work, then I'll put that in there, just saying like, you know, do you want me to share about your case? Like, is there any solidarity you're calling for? Like, please include any links. And I'm really bad at remembering to do this, but then I do like to try and do like a post on Instagram or something about, oh, I sent this care package to this crew, you can support them here, blah 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 blah. And then any other comments, like I'm fucking hopeless at managing my inbox at the moment with Lee, which is why I have this wonderful assistant called Chantel, who I pay 2 hours a week to just help manage the support at Solidarity Apothecary inbox. And you know, I forward emails to her that, you know, things she can help with. And like I just find like a form just like keeps all that information like centralized. Like I'm happy to communicate over things like Signal with people or, you know, encrypted emails and stuff. But like it's so easy for me to just be in my herb shed, look at my C table, like see what requests are in, like write the addresses down, blah, 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 this package. And I actually pay my mum £15 an hour to go take everything to the post office for me and do the final packaging. Like I'll put everything in piles and I'll write little cards. And I also now I have these amazing stamps that I bought from ABC Belarus Anarchist Black Cross in their auction for like they were fundraising for all their amazing prisoner support work, and they were selling these two like vintage stamps from like some of the first like anarchist Black Cross groups like in Ukraine and anarchist Red Cross. So I like stamp the back of my rose card with the stamp. Just like that little bit of like magical like solidarity from our fucking ancestors like resisting. So anyway, I'll do that stuff and write the cards and make sure the packs have got the right ingredients. And then I'll just put a post-it note on it. And my mum, bless her, will package it up because, you know, she like welcomes the financial support with that. So, yeah. And then she'll take it to the post office and do all the customs forms and shit like that. So, yeah, it like, you know, my long-term goal is like, I'd really love to just have like a dispensary assistant who can like help do all these care packages and also like help with blends for people that I'm supporting one-to-one and stuff. Like I'm hoping the PTSD course makes enough money this September so that I can implement that. So that's my system. It's like getting it all on this C table. It's free to sign up to C table. I'm happy to share like how I've set up the back end with anyone interested. I have a different form for the different packs because, like I mentioned, the site of resistance pack is like, more different and more bespoke and things. So, yeah, that's pretty much how I organize it. And then just really simply, I have like a doc on my phone where I just keep a tiny inventory just of like the herbal care packages things. I'm very fortunate that I have like a fucking workshop building, like herb shed, I call it. So I can store everything in there on like picking shelves. And that just, again, makes it much easier. You know, there's like so many other logistical systems, like things like labels. I use Open Office, so I use like 21 to a page labels with my logo and, you know, the name of the blend and instructions and the best before date and the medicine maker, because, you know, people do come and help. Like, more so now I've had Leap, I will have help from some friends who are anonymous, but I'm really appreciative of them. So yeah, I like to include who's kind of like done the medicine making if it's not me. Yeah, so that's the logistics. And then a little bit on the production side. So, yeah, I mean, it could be a very long episode talking about medicine making. But if anyone has done my making herbal medicine with glycerin course online, I go into this method I use called the warm glycerite method, which is using slow cookers and putting dried herb and a bit of water and glycerin in a slow cooker and having it on a high heat for a few hours, turning it off, and then a low heat, leaving it overnight. Depending on what you're infusing, it might take 3 days of that. It might take 12 hours. Every plant is different, but you know, you're not like boiling or burning the herb in any way. It's just like a slow, consistent heat. So that is how I make medicine all year round, because any herbalist will know, like when you forage wild plants, it is like really seasonal. So, you know, like for example, this week, like I've been hard at it trying to, you know, grab the last of the elderberries, and I've got some evening primrose growing, and I can't remember what else I made this week, but yeah, the hawthorn berries have just started. So it's like, yeah, I, you know, you have to kind of like work with those medicines when they're there, which is like fucking amazing. It's what I love about herbalism. But when you're trying to make things in bulk, like either you have to just like make it in such a big quantity once a year, or you need to work with dried herbs, right? So, you know, you can put dried herbs in alcohol to make tinctures. And, you know, I've had some really fantastic tinctures like that. But I do find that, like, obviously lots of herbalists have different approaches, but there's nothing better than that fresh herb tincture. But with glycerin, if you put a dried herb in glycerin without any heat, in my opinion, it's not going to do that much. Like it's going to struggle. Whereas the heat is like really helping to like burst those plant cells open and kind of get the constituents you're looking for. There's lots of nuances to this, which is in my herbalism workshop, in terms of what glycerin is like fantastic at extracting and what it's not good at, not as good as extracting. I mean, it can extract everything. Like, anyway, please check out the workshop, by the way. It's just 30 quid. No one turned away for lack of funds if you need an access code. But yeah, so basically I make these batches of warm glycerite and I do those like in bulk. So I'll have like 5 or 6 slow cookers on the go, all making like ginger glycerite, for example, with ginger, you know, I've ordered and I've chopped up and it's been a mission, and I just make them all at once. And then I've got like 15 litres of ginger glycerite on my glycerite shelves. And then I do the same with elderberries, and then the same with thyme, blah, 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 blah. And then I will combine those glycerites in like a 2 liter jug, like at the ratios I want. So for example, the immune tonic is like one part echinacea tincture. It's like 5 parts, like echinacea, elderberry, thyme, ginger and turmeric. So I'll put, you know, 200 ml of each one in or whatever and stir it. And then I'll decant that into little 125 ml bottles, which I get from a supplier called Ampulla. And, you know, these unfortunately are just like amber plastic bottles that just come from fucking, you know, China. So they're not like ethically sourced. I don't think we have like ethically sourced plastic in the UK. Yeah, the whole plastic versus glass thing is like really tough. I just have had too many bad experiences of glass bottles breaking, and they're really heavy. So yeah, I don't use them unless I'm like visibly having a client come visit me one-to-one and I can give it to them and they can take it away safely. So yeah, so anyway, green, you know, fucking capitalism. Ideally people would just grow their own herbs and make tea and not have any packaging, but it's just not how industrial civilization works right now. Right, okay, so yeah, so I make everything in bulk, basically. There are a few ingredients that I buy in, which I think I've mentioned. So I will buy, for example, echinacea tincture because I don't grow enough echinacea. I would like to start experimenting with echinacea glycerite. But for the alcohol-free one, I just don't include echinacea basically and just pop up a little bit more thyme and elderberry. So I make the glycerites in bulk. I buy like a handful of the tinctures. I don't buy glycerites from anywhere because there isn't really anywhere that sell them at the scale like that's affordable for me to make. Planta Medica, which are like a fantastic herbal co-op, who make amazing quality medicines. Like I've bought loads of stuff from them and, you know, they helped us like literally pay for the clinic in Calais for like 2 years. So I've got a lot of time for them, but yeah, they sell glycerites, but they're like, you know, it would just cost me like thousands if I was going to make these care packages with medicine I was buying rather than making. So then I will try and like do everything at once and like make a bunch of stuff in advance so that I can just have like a lot of stock there ready for posting. So maybe every 2 months, 2-3 months, I'm like making medicine in bulk. But, you know, this scale is really scaled back because of the baby. You know, like before, oh my God, I was a machine in terms of like how much medicine I could make and distribute. I think that's about it. And then obviously the different things are different, right? Like the muscle rubs, you know, like I can make fucking shitloads of them at once. Like if I have high quantities of the infused oils or the lavender oil, I will make in bulk. I also teach these 3-day medicine making courses. So they're a fantastic opportunity to have loads of hands on deck for making medicine. Like, you know, you can make like shitloads of fire cider vinegar or shitloads of lavender oil altogether. In the medium term, I really want to host some medicine making sessions where people can be like putting together these care packages and like, you know, making cough syrup for Calais and stuff like that. And like, please email support@solidarityapothecary.org if you're in like the southwest of the UK and like you're interested in that. I'm trying to make it as like low maintenance as possible, but like those nursery days with the baby are so sacred that I can't give up that time one-to-one with clients on calls or laptop time for that kind of like community hosting stuff. But yeah, I'm hoping to try and make that happen soon with like a little bit more childcare support. Okay, so I think I've talked about how I make them. Obviously, there's like so much stuff around good manufacturing practices and cleanliness and infection control. And oh, my baby is here. So I'm going to have to stop this there. But yeah, that's a little bit about, production logistics. All right, so now I'm going to talk about fundraising. And this is another ridiculous segment recorded in a car, in the car park, because of the childcare situation. But yeah, I'm just going to dive in. I hope you aren't disturbed by the rain. Okay, so I just wanted to talk about fundraising because I know lots of people will listen to everything I've shared about herbal care packages and then just be like, how the fuck do I afford all of this? Because it sounds really expensive. And I guess it is worth naming that it is expensive. Like glycerin costs money, vodka or, you know, alcohol, grain alcohol, whatever you're making your tinctures in costs money. Those bloody little bottles cost money, you know, like everything does cost money. And so fundraising will have to be something that you integrate into your kind of like project and workload. But before I dive into that, I really just want to say, like, it is about scale. So, like before I even had the Solidarity Apothecary, I was doing this on, like, such a small scale to just mates, you know, and to comrades that I knew. And I was just giving them, like, little glass bottles of things and handwritten labels and little instructions. And, like, it didn't need, like, safety leaflets or to make, like, you know, 2,000 medicines at once. Like, it could be small scale. So I just want to say, like, start where you are. Like, if it is a case of like you have some dried herbs from your community garden and you want to distribute them to asylum seekers staying in local hotels, then you could just like package them up in little like envelopes, right, with little elastic bands. Like, you can do things like very DIY and very punk. Like, I, you know, I've done that for a really long time. Like, the reason I do things in this bigger way is just like because, you know, obviously like privilege is like a massive fucking dynamic. But yeah, I'm just really passionate about the Solidarity Apothecary. It's like my full-time thing. Like I want to be doing this work. And, you know, everyone's starting at a different place. And my year, like 7, you know, like 2018 or before, I was making these little herbal care packages. Like it's taken me years to get to this point where, you know, I can send things all around the world. I can pay for postage. I can make like hundreds of medicines at once or buy 3,000 bottles at once. Like, you know, it's taken a long time to kind of build this like community platform and like supporter base to fundraise for this stuff. So yeah, just start where you are. It doesn't matter like what scale you're at. It might just be like, right, I've got 5 friends in my group doing solidarity stuff. I just want to support them through the winter. I'm just going to make a tiny batch of elderberry glycerite, free recipe on my website, shameless plug. And I'm just going to make that. And I'm just going to keep my, like, support my crew. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can just, yeah, literally just start where you are. Okay, so yeah, it is generally like quite hard to track costs because for me, at least, I am buying like a bunch of bottles at once, or I am buying like a bunch of glycerin at once and then making all sorts of things. But it is, you know, like I track all my expenses on QuickBooks, and like it is important for me to like know my numbers financially because I'm like very like not anal, but like that stuff's like really important to me. And it means I can set kind of goals for my fundraising. And I, you know, I grew up like on fucking benefits, right? So like I know some people that grow up like that don't have a high value on money, and they're just like, yeah, whatever, and just carry on that survival pattern. And I know other people are like hardcore into savings and like financial management, and there's all this like fear and scarcity. And I feel like I'm probably in that camp of like wanting to control money in and out, and like being really careful with spending, and like trying to set money aside for things, and like having an annual budget rather than like a month to month thing. And that's just how my brain and my nervous system work in terms of like soothing myself. But yeah, if you can keep a track of your expenses, because it will help you give that like bigger pattern of how much everything is costing. Okay, so in terms of fundraising, like again, this is a whole big podcast interview. But yeah, with the Solidarity Apothecary, I have spent a long time building this bigger support base. And basically like the majority, like 90% of what I do is funded by the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course. So if you've signed up for that course and you've been able to put a donation in or pay, you know, the full whack or even the resource price, then like a huge fucking thank you, because that course like contribution literally enables all of this other medicine making I do, like stuff for Calais, stuff for people experiencing state violence, getting prisoners herbal books like all over the world. Like we just had 3,000 more printed, and that's all like really down to course sales. You don't have to design like some massive online course. Like I also have this glycerin workshop, which I sell. And again, that helps cover medicine making costs. Like, you know, it's much smaller because I don't kind of like market it as much. But yeah, there is obviously this like embodied cost of building a fucking Instagram platform, building an email list, you know, creating an online course. And I know those like tech skills aren't for everyone. So yeah, that's important to me and my livelihood and the project. But you could maybe do like something smaller scale, like you could do a herb walk at your local community garden and people could contribute, and then that could pay for your first batch of medicine boxes, for example. You know, you can also try and get donations from companies, which, you know, can be really difficult, but we've definitely done it with Calais. You know, there are like some grants around that you can apply for. Like I wouldn't depend on them as a strategy. I don't think there's that many with herbal medicine, at least in the UK, that will sustain a project, but you might be able to collaborate with like a community garden or something that has like much more likely access for funds, like food growing, horticulture stuff is quite well funded, I would say. I don't know, maybe I'm talking from years ago when I was in this like community food workers co-op, but yeah, you know, it is an option. But yeah, just fucking, you know, might just be like DIYing, like asking your friends to chip in, or yeah, you know, having like, you know, yeah, like a workshop somewhere or like a benefit gig or whatever. Just, you know, like again, it is another podcast episode, all these grassroots fundraising strategies. But for me, like these digital products are like my financial strategy that sustain the Solidarity Apothecary and all of this work. You know, I also do the occasional like merchandise run that can be very effective. That's what we do for the Mobile Herbal Clinic Calais. Thank you so much to everyone who's bought a Plant No Borders t-shirt, Plants Know No Borders t-shirt. And then, yeah, I also have monthly supporters. So on my website, people can chip in. And like, someone will think like, oh, £3, it doesn't make a difference. But like, fuck me, like this regular consistent income makes so much difference. Because I know, right, in November, I can afford to do like another mass order for glycerin or bottles. Or, you know, I might very occasionally, like if I'm really running on empty, I might have to say no to someone of like, okay, I can't afford that postage. But like when I promote my PTSD course, I should have a chunk of cash and I can get them to you then, you know, like, yeah, you just have to do what you got to do. But like monthly donations are really, really fantastic. And yeah, I really wish with the Calais project, we'd started that model much sooner. Like we're kind of lagging behind in terms of building that supporter base to sustain the clinic. Like if, you know, like 300 herbalists, like all just chucked in a few quid every month, like we wouldn't even have to do any other fucking fundraising. Like it would be amazing. So yeah, I know social media is a pain in the ass. I know it's all like evil big tech surveillance, but like you have to have community support networks to sustain this kind of work. Like, so yeah. Anyway, that's kind of just what I wanted to say about fundraising. If you want to learn some of these things, I've mentioned my Making Herbal Medicine with Glycerin workshop, but I talk there about like this warm glycerite method, which means you can make medicine, really potent, amazing medicine, like all year round. My Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course is coming on the 22nd of September, and it is fucking awesome for anyone just like beginning their herbal journey. Like there's lessons about herbal safety, about, you know, sustainable harvesting and wildcrafting, about medicine making, as well as like detailed profiles of plants, as well as all other trauma stuff. But if you're like, I would love to make care packages, but I literally know nothing right now, then that is a fucking amazing place to start. Because I really think by the end of that course, like I would trust someone to make medicine for their community safely and consistently. Like I honestly would. Like maybe that combined with the glycerin workshop so that you've got some more of the nuances. Yeah, I think that would give you like a super strong foundation. And, you know, I've got a whole podcast episode about this, but it really is like no one turned away for lack of funds. Like you can donate something every month, like as small as you can. You can pay, you know, the full whack. There's payment plans. Oh, you can just access it for free if needed. It really is no one turned away for lack of funds. But I only open it like twice a year. And that's so that I don't have to do like this fucking full-time promotion marketing shit. I can get on in the other quarters with doing the fucking things that I want to do, which are like supporting people one-to-one, building group programs like Hawthorne. I'm working on this Frontline Herbalism membership, which is going to have like way more content and mentoring and support for projects. Like watch this fucking space. I'm really excited about it. So yeah, anyway, and then my Herbalism and State Violence book also has like a ton of recipes in there from the Calais project. Like everything we make for Calais is in there. I've got stuff about like court support packs, what I've included and why. Like there's like a medicine making instruction, and that's only £6. So yeah, may as well go in and download that. And finally, I just wanted to talk about like the limits of care packages. So, you know, like the medicine is in the, you know, the receiving of care, right? Of sending solidarity, of making sure someone doesn't feel alone. Like if someone had sent me a care package through my years of oppression, like I would have just fucking loved it. Like I think, you know, we live in such a horrible culture of like intense martyrdom and self-neglect, and like people are just used like fucking cannon fodder, especially at the moment with all of these like, you know, I talk about this more in the repression episode, but the kind of like campaigns that kind of like optimize this like non-violence, quote unquote, civil disobedience, where it's like, let's just all get arrested for doing fucking nothing and go to prison. Like it just really winds me up. I'm not dissing like the individuals that do that. Like I think they're fucking brave, and I think they're desperate to do something to support struggles. And this is just the culture we're in. It's like the water we're swimming in, if that makes sense. But yeah, like I want people to know in those, like, in the midst of that stuff, that, like, you are not fucking disposable. Like, your body isn't, you matter, your needs matter, your burnout matters, your mental health matters, your physical health matters. And I think sending a care package is just like a validation of that, that, like, you are also important in this struggle, and caring for each other is like fucking political, and that we need each other, and that we have fucking bodies that have needs and get sick and tell us when they're struggling. And that's what, you know, herbs are incredible at, you know, supporting. So yeah, I think the medicine is really in the kind of like, yeah, this kind of like act of giving. And yeah, sometimes like we obviously hit limits with a care package. Like people have like complex trauma and complex health issues, and they may need that like really one-to-one support, which is, you know, why I try to offer that with the apothecary. I'm still not officially open for clients because I'm onboarding like 10 people with Hawthorne at the moment, and I literally have like a handful of hours a week where Lee's in nursery. So anyway, I just, you know, care packages are amazing, but they don't have to be the only model. It might be hosting a community garden, and community medicine making is more nourishing for people because they get to be with other people. They get to like overcome loneliness. They get to build connections, you know, like Rox, like there was an interview with Rox all about like solidarity medicine making and the work she's doing in Scotland. And I just think that model is like so fucking inspiring because like it is the act of herbalism that is amazing and life changing and life affirming for people. So you don't have to just think about like the package, right? And what's in it and where it goes. You can think about who's going to make these packages. Like, how can we organize workshops to do it? Like, how can we, you know, build relationships with community gardens and other projects to like build that infrastructure? You know, like all of those kind of relationships are like really like where the sort of important relational kind of revolutionary work is, in my opinion. Anyway, I better get out of this car. It's finally stopped raining, so I'm going to go and edit this and get it online. Please check out the links in the show notes. Also, it is the International Week of Solidarity with Anarchist Prisoners, so I'll put the link to that in the show notes too. Please fucking write to a prisoner. Please donate to a prisoner support crew. I'm going to be sharing a podcast soon of an episode of an interview me and two comrades did with the Final Straw Radio, an amazing anarchist radio, all about like prisoner support in a kind of long-term context. So check that out soon. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Frontline Herbalism podcast. You can find the transcript, the links, all the resources from the show at solidarityapothecary.org/podcast.